It's an interesting time of the year for the Philadelphia Eagles, and we're exploring all of it here on the Eagles Live Podcast, episode 29. Hello, everyone. I'm Eagles insider Dave Spadaro, and we're going to visit with the newest Eagle, linebacker Steven Tulloch, and learn more about how he can help this team. We'll touch on the offense as it prepares for preseason game number 3 against the Indianapolis Colts, and we'll hear from the voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese, in his Merrill Minute. First up, though, is head coach Doug Peterson, as he gets ready for the Colts and talks about the state of this Eagles roster. Coach, you've had 2 preseason games. What kind of progress have you seen?
I've seen incremental progress, meaning each time we take the field, we're going in the right direction, meaning the mental errors are cut down. We do have to cut down the penalties, obviously. I mean, that goes without saying. We're not turning the ball over, which is great. Sometimes in a preseason, when you're playing a lot of guys, you turn the ball over. We're creating turnovers on defense, which is awesome. And I'm seeing the guys begin to take ownership with everything that we're doing. And those are things that when you're around each other for a long period of time, those are things that you begin to see, and we're starting to see it.
Along with that, I mean, the most important part of this preseason is getting to the right 53 players. So it's a very difficult time of the year for you and for these players. What's it like for you now to keep that in the back of your mind and to understand that that's what you're here for?
I put myself in the player's position because I've been there so many times where you get to the end of training camp, and it's the worst part of camp for me as coaches and obviously as players. But, you know, at the end of the day, we got to make sure we select the right 53 that's going to take the field, you know, opening day. And, you know, sometimes you have to make those hard decisions, you know, and I've been there as a player, so I know what some of these young guys are going through, and it can be a stressful time because they're trying to press and they're trying to impress and do things right. But again, you know, with myself and Howie and really the coordinators, we've just got to do our due diligence for the entire football team, for the entire organization, and find the right combination that works.
With that in mind, you want to play Doriel Green Beckham with the first team a bit. What's the plan there? What's the thinking there?
Would like to get him in there with the first offense. Would like to see him work with Sam a little bit, obviously. And what I've seen in practice, obviously, with him has been special so far this week. And he's a talented player, obviously. It'll just be a limited number of plays. We're not giving him the whole playbook and just want him to learn a few specifics right now. And as we get into game plan weeks, that's what it becomes. It becomes, you know, this is your package of plays. And we'll see how it works out Saturday night, but looking forward to him playing.
Any other players who fit that description, who you want to see with the ones?
Well, depending on Isaac, you know, situation again, it'd be good to see him in another week of work with the offensive line. We'll see where he's at. It looks like he's not going to be able to play, but that's one that I think of off the top of my head. Jalen Mills, we get him back and want to see him back out there with the first unit. And then, you know, Michael Kendricks this week too. I mean, Michael's come back and put in a good week of practice. So seeing those few guys that we haven't seen get out there with their first units and run around and make plays, I think is something that I want to see and then ultimately come away with the win.
I know it's not game plan, but this is Andrew Luck. This is a veteran quarterback with a really good group of people around him. How important is it for the defense to go out there against this kind of offense and get a good test in?
This will be great for them. This is a Pro Bowl quarterback, and he's got tremendous weapons on offense. And we've seen 2 young quarterbacks the last couple of weeks. And to see a veteran guy who can manage the game and do some great things with the football will be a great test, not only for our pass rush, but also for the back end guys. And it'll be exciting to kind of see where we're at, a little benchmark this week, and come away healthy and get ready for September 11th.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Staying with the offense, coordinator Frank Reich has a broad view of the progress his group has made since the start of training camp. He's seen it all come together to this point, and he noticed some very definite improvements from week 1 of the preseason through last week's win in Pittsburgh.
I thought the pass protection was really good in week 2. I thought the offensive line did a really good job. The backs did a good job. We just have to eliminate the penalties. I know it's been talked about a lot. They just kill drives. You're getting second and long, third and long. We can overcome some of those. We have to overcome some of those, but as an offense, you can't put yourself in those positions. So we got to minimize those things. There's no excuses for it, and we just have to execute.
Saturday, the starters will play the first half, and Reich wants more from this offensive unit.
2 things, consistency and, you know, we got to score. It's great if the special teams and defense keep scoring for us. We'll take that all year long and won't apologize for that. We'll ride that horse all the way if we have to. That's been a good start for us as a team. And our offense at times has taken advantage of some of the turnovers. But you need to be consistent. You need to be able to sustain drives. You need to be great at situational football. Last week, we had a good outing on third down, converted over 50% on third down. That's winning football, you know, against a good defensive scheme. Now, I know they didn't play their starters all the time, but we got to be good on third down. We got to be good in the red zone, and then we got to make something happen in 2 minutes. We were able to do that last week a little bit. Those are the signs I think we're looking for this week against the Colts, because I think that's what it ultimately takes to win consistently week in and week out.
You remember last year in the third preseason game, right? You remember that. Sam Bradford was, well, he was on fire at the quarterback position with 3 touchdown passes in a 10-for-10 performance against the Green Bay Packers. It was a game that caught everyone's attention and gave the media and the fans reason to believe the Eagles were headed toward greatness in 2005. Not so fast. Bradford didn't get caught up in the hype of that preseason success, something he remembers 1 year later.
I understand the preseason. You know, I think I've got a better perspective on it. You know, I think some people, especially outside the building, live and die with it. And, you know, like you said last year, you know, after the third preseason game, everyone thought we were going to the Super Bowl. But there's very little game planning that goes into preseason. I'm sure Green Bay didn't game plan to stop us last year. They probably hadn't even practiced our offense. You know, obviously it was nice to go out there and execute the way we did last year in that third preseason game. But, you know, I don't think anyone in our locker room really bought into the fact that because we looked great in a preseason game, it was going to be easy during the regular season.
In this preseason game number 3, Bradford wants the offense to get into a flow and put some points on the board.
I really just like to see our offense be efficient. In game 3 last week, I felt like we had some penalties, some things that set us back. You know, I can do a better job, you know, trying not to take a sack. You know, that really kind of killed that drive. You know, but really just being more efficient, keeping ourselves ahead of the change, and then being better on third down.
I'm Eagles linebacker Jordan Hicks.
It's intercepted. It's Hicks down the 4 sideline. Touchdown, Jordan Hicks out of the University of Texas.
You're listening to the Eagles Live podcast with Dave Spadaro.
The Eagles had some changes on defense during the week. They lost rookie linebacker Joe Walker. A torn ACL suffered in the Pittsburgh game sidelines him for the entire season. And it's a shame. Walker was playing good football and appeared to be a trustworthy backup in the middle to Jordan Hicks. Instead, he'll spend the year rehabbing, getting stronger, faster, and bigger as he gets ready for 2017. In his place, the Eagles turned to veteran Stephen Tulloch, a 10-year player who has been in the Jim Schwartz defense in both Tennessee and in Detroit. Let's get to know a little bit about Stephen Tulloch one-on-one.
I just love football. You know, I think this is my 26th, 27th year playing football. And you know, I started back in 1991 when I was about 5 years old. You know, it's just a way of life for me. You know, it's something I love to do. You know, I have a passion for practice. I have a passion for the game. You know, I play hard. I work hard. I take care of my body. I do what I have to do. And I'm coming here to play ball. You know, whatever's asked of me, you know, I'll do. Compete every day. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to work hard. And I'll let the coaches do what they do and take care of their business. But I'm just coming here to whatever's asking me to do, I'm going to do it. And that's what they're going to expect out of me. And if I can help the younger guys become better pros and do what they got to do to help this team get better, you know, I got a lot of love and respect for Coach Schwartz. I always thank him for, you know, the opportunity I had in, you know, in Tennessee, you know, for having him draft me or push to draft me back in 2006 when nobody else really wanted to go after me. And so, like I said, when he called me, you know, I want to come here and help build this team.
Schwartz welcomes Tulloch to help the Eagles' depth at linebacker and to add to the group. And here he gives his scouting report on Tulloch.
He's not here to replace anybody. He's here to add to our group. As coaches, our job is to find out what guys do the best and what guys bring to the party. Everybody's got something different they bring to the party. You know, we embrace that and try to find a role for all of those guys. But what role he's going to play is yet to be determined. He's a very experienced player, played at a high level of production, plays with a lot of spirit. He's heavy in the run game. He's got natural leverage. That's a kind way of saying he's short, but he's really powerful. He understands blocking schemes, you know, and he has good understanding of pass game. He's got a little bit of experience in the defense. I don't know if that means a whole lot. He's a good player. It stands on its own. He's done it in different schemes.
In this week's Merrill Minute, the voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese, impressed with the way the Eagles defense has played through 2 preseason games, knows the real challenge of the preseason comes against star quarterback Andrew Luck and the Colts' potent offense on Saturday night.
The Eagles are in the Super Bowl! The Eagles are in the Super Bowl!
It's Groundhog Day! They do it again!
They're caught in the end zone! I don't believe it!
This game could be in a museum.
I think the defense has done very well so far. Of course, that's evidenced by the fact that they completely shut down the Pittsburgh Steelers. But everything has to be put in perspective. And the fact of the matter is the Steelers' top playmakers were not in this game. This Saturday night in Indianapolis will be a much better barometer because you are going to be facing the first unit of the Indianapolis Colts. And you're talking about one of the tough quarterbacks in the National Football League, and Andrew Luck, who has a full complement of running backs and wide receivers and tight ends and a pretty good offense. offensive line. There are a lot of people who have stepped up this summer and made an impact. And one guy I'd like to focus on is a guy who played well last year before he broke his ankle, and that's Nolan Carroll. He came in this year a little tender in the ankle area, but once he got on the field, he played extremely well and showed that burst and that anticipation that he showed a year ago. He has a nose for the football, and he picked one off last week and took it to the house. And that is something you see a lot from Nolan Carroll. I'd have to say that right now, as I look at that secondary, he looks to me as a guy who's going to start at one corner opposite Leonis McKelvin. So I think the Eagles are certainly more talented in the secondary this year, and up front, that's their greatest strength. And now they're bringing in Stephen Tulloch. It'll be interesting to see what Tulloch adds to this team and when he is actually in game shape to play, since he hasn't really had a preseason. He's a guy that Jim Schwartz obviously knows well, thinks very highly of, saw him in Tennessee and had him in Detroit, and in an area that needs depth, Stephen Tulloch might just turn out to be the answer.
Finally on this Eagles Live podcast, a national perspective. And for that, we go to Jason LaConfora of CBS Sports, who visited the NovaCare Complex this week.
Jason, you've had a chance to observe this from afar all offseason. Kind of a fascinating way to put a roster together, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, I was driving up here just kind of thinking about what I was going to write about and talk to people about, and it just kind of strikes me that there's this sort of dual paths going on, where you had one, which was like, let's identify the best of what we have here now, and let's get rid of what we don't think will work long term for whatever reason, and sink a bunch of assets into that. And that's for today, but also year two, year three, year four, year five of this program. Guys who maybe you would have only had for another, whatever, 9 to 18 months. And then there's this second track of, let's also find guys who we're familiar with, who have either played in this offense in Kansas City or played in this defense in Detroit or Buffalo, and we need help right now with some of these cats. And they might not be here year two, year three, year four, but we got to get a lot of things up to speed. So it's kind of these dual tracks that I feel like they're on. What that means in the standings in 2016, we'll see. I mean, I think it's going to be a year of transition. And the way I would gauge it is, are they a more competitive team in December than they were in September? Do they look like a team that's trending in the right direction? And who's the quarterback?
You know, it's remarkable that the Eagles haven't won a playoff game since 2008 when you think of all the success the franchise had in the years prior to that. Why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, I don't want to oversimplify it, but you had Donovan McNabb who was slowing down, and you had a coach who had sort of established a way of doing things. There was kind of an Eagles Andy Reid kind of a way. And then you have someone who had become that much a part of the fabric of the franchise leaves, and understandably so. I mean, that was an incredibly long run by NFL standards. And then you look at the quarterback situation since then. I mean, I don't want to oversimplify it, but I think it kind of probably starts there with, you know, the concussions with Cobb, and you got Vic, and it was lightning in a bottle for a while, but then he's banged up, and now you're kind of chasing your tail, and that's tough. And as much as the guy who was here before seemed to think he could win with anyone back there, or close to anyone back there, it's pretty clear now with the move they made this offseason that it's like, if we think this kid could be the future, we're going to go get him. And at the same time, we'll spend more than anybody else for Sam Bradford and Chase Daniel.
Yeah, so how do you read that? Because it's very unusual that you would spend so much of current assets into the position and still have so much of the future tied up in one player.
I think it probably speaks to two questions ago. What's the difference between making the playoffs and now? And again, I don't know that, you know, Chip, I think he almost kind of took more pleasure in turning Foles into something. I'm going to turn Sanchez into something. I'm going to do it my way with a guy who can kind of be an instrument of me, but who isn't going to push back a whole lot, who isn't going to have a whole lot of unique athletic prowess to just usurp whatever I'm calling from the sidelines. 1 year they made the playoffs, and, you know, it sort of was what it was. But I'm guessing as they sat back, you know, from the owner and Howie and everyone, and said, okay, well, we're going to hit a reset button here. What's our biggest difference? Where are we failing? Well, let's look at our quarterback play the last 7 years versus the previous seven.
So the question then is, and you don't have the answer, none of us do, can you win now and still build for the future?
Well, I guess in this league, the obvious answer is you have to be doing all that, because no one's window is forever. I mean, right, this league is meant to subsidize the poor, right? You get the higher draft picks, you get the easier schedule, and through the salary cap, it helps you so that the rich guys can't keep all their stuff, right? And it pushes you back up. And then once you get good again, it pulls you down, because now everyone's paying more for your free agents, and those same things are working against you. The tougher schedule, you're having to overpay guys to keep them. So, I mean, other than New England and some of these rare sort of anomalies, I think it's kind of just the way the league works, and you have to be doing both. I mean, you look at what a Seattle's doing. I mean, they're doing both. I think Pittsburgh for years, you know, with their ability to sign guys pretty early on, kind of similar to the Howie Joe Joe Banner thing and try to get some value on them 3 years into that contract because you bought low. So all that makes sense now as it did, you know, 8-10 years ago. It's just, are they the right guys? And, you know, can you avoid injury? Can you get a little lucky? And are one of these three guys the long-term answer at quarterback? They have to be. If they're not, you've set yourself back another 5 years.
I'm curious. You write for fans who follow the NFL, some of whom are Eagles fans, some of whom are not. So explain the process, Jason. You come to a town and you have your kind of preconceived ideas about what the Philadelphia Eagles are all about. And then you sit down with Doug and you sit down with Howie and players and so forth. Do you then kind of understand, I guess in theory you do, their point of view better after spending a day with them and hearing everything?
You should. I mean, hopefully you're not going in here with blinders on. And certain of these transactions in real time, you know, you were certainly taking their temperature on and knew why they were doing what they're doing. But to kind of step back and now take, okay, they're whatever, 4 months into this. Let me take a step back and take a macro, you know, from the blimp above, macro look at the Eagles 2 weeks before, you know, Doug Peterson coaches his first NFL game. Yeah, you want to rehash some of that. You want to kind of say, okay, this was my read on X, Y, and Z. Am I missing anything on that? And then also, you know, you want to get their opinions on certain players and how they think certain, especially some of these younger guys who haven't just played much yet, but have practiced a lot. And I'm not here at every practice. You know, so you take the temperature on a few of the different players. But yeah, you're coming in here to be a sponge and absorb as much information as you can.
What's your read on Sam Bradford and Carson Wentz?
Well, the guy I'm most interested in is the one you didn't mention. Because whether it's through injury or whether it's through a slow start or whatever, I've never been of the opinion that Doug Peterson would flinch to throw that young veteran into more or less any situation. I'm not saying 16-week sample size, but a month, 6 weeks, a quicker bridge to Carson than maybe they thought he'd have to be. So that's the one that intrigues me
Chase
the most.
Daniel, in this sea of Sam and the Wentz mania, it's about Chase Daniel for you?
I mean, for me, it kind of is. Like, if we want to go back and look at, okay, these dual paths, and we're talking long-term, obviously it's Carson Wentz, but this short-term thing, I don't think he'd be scared to, in case of emergency, break glass and let that guy have a run for a while. If it's because Sam gets hurt, which that's been a significant storyline in his career, or if it's through ineffectiveness or what have you. I'm just very intrigued to see if he gets a chance to play, how it goes. And again, I'm not saying he's their quarterback of the future, but he might end up being a stopgap quarterback of the present, especially because, I mean, this is really important time. There's a pretty decent chance that he doesn't play in the preseason, or maybe he plays a little bit in week four. But when I come here today and, you know, coach is saying, well, we had to scale it back again and he can't throw today, that tells me he's probably not playing in the third game. And then it's like the fourth game. How much do we need to see of anybody else? You know, how much do we think he can play, having done really nothing through most of camp? So that's significant. The timing of that hurts, and mental reps and all that is great, but I don't think he's the second man up by any stretch of the imagination right now.
Can the Eagles compete in the NFC East this year?
In most divisions, I would say no. In this, who knows? I think the other three are a little more equipped for various reasons to win right now. But this division, even in its quote-unquote strong years, usually only has maybe one lead dog. So I'm interested to see how many wins it takes to win this division. Is it 9? Is there one team that wins more than 8? Is it 8-8 with tiebreakers? I don't know that it'll be quite that mediocre, but it's not very top-heavy either. So, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility. But if this was a playoff team, it would surprise me.
Thanks, Jason.
You got it, man.
That will do it for this episode of the Eagles Live Podcast. Thanks to Brian Thomas for his production, and thanks to you for joining in. It's the Eagles at the Colts on Saturday night, 7 o'clock, on NBC 10 in Philadelphia. See PhiladelphiaEagles.com for complete preseason viewing listings. Thanks again, everyone, and have a great Eagles day.
E-A-G-L-E!